Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'd invite you to get your Bibles, and you may want to turn to the book of Luke. We're studying about John the Baptist, him being one of the great men of the New Testament. And we'll continue that study in just a moment. We'll give a little brief outline of John's life and then continue on into our study. And for our study, what we are doing is using Elam's notes for the Sunday schools of 1923. It's interesting to go back and read those old Sunday school lessons, and I'll be presenting them to you. E.A. Elam was a great preacher at that time, and we are indebted to him to this day for providing us with these notes. These notes sit in the libraries of many preachers, but often they are closed books. And so I'm using this radio program as an opportunity to do what I can to bring the voice of that old preacher back to life again as we study the Sunday school lessons he so diligently prepared. Now, as you're turning to the book of Luke, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to turn to Elam's notes, and he has here in this Sunday school lesson a little note about the prominent points of in an outline of the life of John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist first appears to us in prophecy in the books of Isaiah and Malachi, and then in promise in the book of Luke. We read about his birth in the book of Luke and his growth and manner of life, and then in his mission, in his work, told by both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was John the Baptist who baptized Jesus and gave his testimony concerning Jesus, identifying him as the Lamb of God. John was imprisoned by Herod for talking about Herod's wife, letting Herod know it was not lawful for him to have her because Herod had stolen her from another man. While he was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus to either to assure himself or to assure his disciples that Jesus was the Christ. And we read about Christ's testimony to John in Matthew chapter 11 and in Mark chapter 10 and in Luke chapter 7, saying there had not arisen a man or a prophet among women greater than John the Baptist, and that is at least up until that time. John was beheaded by Herod, and thus we know from what we are taught in the book of Revelation that John received the martyr's crown. Let me tell you about the birth of John the Baptist. John was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who lived in Hebron. John was well born. He was a cousin to Jesus, and it was 6 months older than Jesus. You can read the account of his birth in Luke chapter 1. Zacharias was at his post of duty when the angel appeared. He was a priest, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had prayed for a child, and they had served long and waited patiently. But at last they were assured that their prayers were heard, and that they would soon become the happy parents of a wonderful son. They were told that his name should be John, that he would be great in the sight of the Lord, and that many would rejoice at his birth. Let us then, as faithfully, do our duty. Let us serve on, pray on, wait on, hope on, and God will surely bless us in a way which, in his wisdom, is best. Well, John was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And John grew. One verse tells us all we know of John's history from childhood until his public ministry. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel," Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. As did Jesus, John grew in body and developed in mind and spirit. Also, as was Jesus, he was brought up in a quiet place, in the deserts, where he was disciplined by self-denial and prepared by frequent and undisturbed communion with God for his great work. We read something of John's clothing and of his food. You see, John's raiment was of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. This was a loose garment made of a coarse fabric woven out of the long, rough hair of the camel and fastened about the waist with a leather girdle. The girdle was worn by any common laborer. The hairy garment was the recognized dress of the prophets in the Old Testament. His food was locusts and wild honey. Jews were allowed to eat locusts. They're large insects resembling grasshoppers, and the poor of Arabia, Egypt, and Nubia still used them for food. Honey was deposited in the rocks by swarms of bees, and John drank neither wine nor strong drink of any kind, and was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, and was great in the sight of God. It's interesting to compare all of this, which is spoken of John, with the law for the Nazarites given in Numbers chapter 6, to abstain from all intoxicating drinks and other injurious practices, and to follow the will of God will cause any boy and young man to be great in the eyes of the Lord. Here we have the mission of John the Baptist. His mission was declared by Gabriel as follows: "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, and he shall go before his face in spirit and power and Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him." He was called John the Baptist because he baptized. He was not called John the Baptist because he had joined a Baptist denomination. There was no Baptist denomination at this time. In fact, this whole idea of denominationalism comes many, many years after the New Testament time. He was called the Baptist because he baptized. God sent him to baptize, John 1:33, and he taught and baptized by the authority of God. The Old Testament closes with a prophecy concerning John's work, and the New Testament virtually opens with its fulfillment. In the 15th year, the reign of Tiberius Caesar, and during the times of the rulers named earlier, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "The word of God came to John the Baptist." The word of God came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. It came by the inspiration of the Spirit which was within him, Luke 1 and verse 15. Thus he was called to begin his work. John was now about 30 years of age. His ministry preceded that of Jesus by about 6 months. The wilderness was not a barren waste, but a thinly inhabited country used for pasture. It lay west of the Jordan and the Dead Sea, and in the southeastern part of Judea. Now let's look in detail at our text from Luke chapter 3 and read some of the explanatory notes. And we'll begin talking about how John prepared a people for the Lord. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 3 it says, "And he came into all the region round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins." John left his home and went into the wilderness, and all the region round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. This kingdom of heaven is the one which God promised to set up in the days of the kings mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, which shall never be destroyed, Daniel 2 and verse 44, and to which Paul and others referred to in the book of Acts. To this kingdom Jesus and his apostles referred in their preaching during his personal ministry. He preached as did John, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 4 and verse 17, and so did the apostles of Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 7, and so did the 70 whom Jesus sent out, Luke 10 verses 9 and 11. The kingdom of heaven was at hand, and those words, at hand, means that it approaches, it draws nigh. Matthew says, at hand, and Luke says, is come nigh. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, Luke chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. These expressions are equivalent in meaning. After Jesus had died and arisen from the dead and had been crowned king in heaven and set down the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, the apostles no longer said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand or that it is come nigh. They preached it as having been fully set up and that all Christians are in it, as we read in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13. During the ministry of John the Baptist, and during Jesus' personal ministry, it was in its preparatory state. And in that state, during Jesus' personal ministry, it suffered violence, Matthew 1, verses 12 and 13. And people pressed into it. That's Matthew 11, verses 12 and 13. And people pressed into it. The law and the prophets were until John. And from that time the gospel of the kingdom is preached, and every man entereth violently into it. Luke chapter 16:16. They rushed violently into it. The conduct of the people from John's baptism is due to their failure to make Jesus, king by force, and explain how the violence took the kingdom by force. They misunderstood the nature of the kingdom and tried to force along their conception of it. The law did not cease to exist and to be binding authority when John began to preach, but the gospel of the kingdom was preached in addition to the law. The law ceased when Jesus died on the cross. Luke says John preached the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. Baptism of repentance is baptism springing from repentance. The people repented and were baptized. Repentance is turning from sin to obedience to God. It is more than sorrow for sin. Sorrow itself is not repentance, but godly sorrow worketh repentance, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Repentance is a change of purpose, a change of will, a change of heart, a determination to forsake sin, and a real turning from sin to obedience to God. Repentance led to baptism, because baptism was the obedience which God required as an expression of repentance. Had he required some other act of obedience, John would have preached it, and truly penitent people would have rendered that act. When they obeyed God, he forgave their sins. Hence it was the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. There are two other passages like this. Christ shed his blood for many unto the remission of sins in Matthew 26:28. And Peter said, Repent ye and be baptized unto the remission of sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. And these places, the Authorized Version says, for the remission of sins. Christ shed his blood that sins may be remitted. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. Through faith in Christ, people now repent and are baptized unto the remission of sins, or that their sins may be blotted out or forgiven.